Okay, you can do this.
I know, I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
All right, let's tease this out.
Okay.
It's today, and find out somebody is coming over for dinner. So you have, let's call it 6 hours. What are you cleaning in that time space? Like, what are you prioritizing getting done to clean the house, quote unquote?
At this point, for me now, just because I live in the smallest possible area, it would be getting rid of all of this video equipment because it looks like I do porn. Like being in California and having this much camera equipment right near the furniture in the front of my house, it 100% looks like I do porn.
It looks like you do very cramped porn. Yeah. Like for people who are like, I love Das Boot, but what if it had genitals?
Very specific genres.
Okay. Spencer, what are you attempting?
Dishes, surfaces clean, floor clear. That's the big one, right? Like, blap, blap, blap. You want to make sure that all of the surfaces that are identifiably surfaces, like a table, should probably clean most of that off if you can, right?
Okay.
Floor's got to be clear because there's kids, and kids just leave socks. There's going to be a sock, a random sock somewhere, because kids just generate socks. They're kind of like medieval rat germ theory, right? Like you'll get a plague if you have rats and clothes in a pile on the floor. You know, if you have kids, they just spit socks out of their bodies. So you got to get those off the floor, and then you got to get dishes so you can eat. So make sure you got enough dishes for everybody, right? Like just and garbage. I'm not going to have the garbage stinking around there. That's like the four basics, right? Anything past that, though, when they're like, you know, you should probably dust the eaves. You know,
are
like
you, are you touching the bathroom in any way, shape, or form?
You got to make sure it's presentable. Yeah, you got to make sure.
So you're doing more than you. You're putting some effort in.
All right, the bathroom's going to be presentable anyway. Like we're going to keep that at a bare minimum. But like, you know, if you have your like, I'm trying to think of like, if you have something out that the person doesn't want to see,
yeah,
you should probably move it, right?
Like Mike's porn setup.
Yes, you don't want to have. The whole Destroyer 3000 probably shouldn't be out on the sink. You
wow.
know?
Yeah.
Just put that away if you got one of those.
Does it destroy the hole or does it create the hole? That's the question we've always
Great
wondered.
Question. Great. I don't know, but it makes 3,000 of them, so you better be ready.
Wait, can you destroy a hole because it's the absence of space?
The whole Destroyer 3000, a philosophical challenge.
Can God create a hole so 3,000, even God cannot destroy it?
The Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined this week by let's see who's on this here call. We got a Jason Kirk, we got a Ryan Nanny, we got Michael Server on the ones and twos. Holly is out this week, and as a guest, not a replacement, but a guest, we have Mike Golic Jr.
I did my best to dress as an off-duty police officer for you guys today. I've started becoming a vest guy. I just figured it was appropriate given my relationship with this universe.
You're the undercover guy. You're the undercover guy that every one of my friends who lives in New York is like, that guy's undercover. Anytime there's a guy wearing a vest or wearing some sort of like quarter zip, they're like, yeah, that's an undercover NYPD guy.
I'm getting more PE teacher that you see outside of school vibes. Like when you run into the PE teacher at Costco or something.
100%. Now he's got like a family that you had no idea was there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When you saw teachers out in the real world, did their homeliness surprise you, or their unhappiness? Like, what was
their homeliness?
Every time I saw a teacher, they just looked like, oh god.
They were very glamorous.
No, they were completely together. Now, every time I saw a teacher and they weren't in school, they were casual. So in my head, I was like, they weren't armed for battle. So I was like, they're vulnerable. Take them now.
So your ninth grade history teacher who coached the offensive line, he became more casual outside of school.
Definitely. Absolutely, okay. Definitely. Those sweats got even like sweatpantsier.
Even sweatier, yeah.
Yes.
No, I can't say that I ever saw a teacher outside of school when I was 9. I was like, ugh, really dressing down today, Barbara, or whatever.
What a slob.
I did. I'm sorry for having standards.
I hope you're at Marshall's to buy some new clothes. Jesus.
I felt like every time I saw a teacher outside of school, it was where they were playing with the band that they were somehow always in.
Whoa.
So many of my high school teachers were a part of some sort of band and trying to chase this musical ambition that probably should have died a long time ago. And so it was always seeing them in that setting where they were very eager to please, which was weird because the dynamic all of a sudden
changed. It all the same band?
No. There were only a couple. There was one that sticks out in particular. He was like a high school English teacher and the track coach for us. He was always really sweaty in school and somehow less sweaty with the band.
Are these like 30-ish people?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of like, here's my 63-year-old math teacher and he fucking slays on bass. You wouldn't fucking believe it.
What kind of bands were these? Were they both the same? Were they in the same scene?
Yeah, generally the same scene, like alt-rock.
Where were you that you saw these, this is the part I don't understand.
Rocking out to my teachers.
Most of the time when you have these stories, it's, I was in the grocery store, and I
saw, man.
We were at Home Depot.
I was in the pit and looked up, and there was my chem teacher.
Coming with a lariat right from my head.
No, like, it was all...
Yeah.
It was like on the way to the gig. It wasn't like at the gig because at that point I'm like 14, 15.
Right.
It was either on the way to the gig or I would see them basically in that same sort of mode at a concert venue.
Yeah.
Because in Connecticut, when you're growing up in the summers, all there is to do is go to Dave Matthews Band for everyone age 14 to infinity. And so that's the melting pot where all of a sudden you're cross-pollinating with everybody else.
I was hoping that you were going to say some shit like, yeah, they were all in baby metal, like J metal. Bands.
No, although everyone at Dave had the same kind of tendencies. I saw more 20-person street brawls, police having to break things up, people doing cocaine at Dave Matthews than I have at any other concert.
Really?
Huh.
First place I saw someone do cocaine, Dave Matthews, 14
What's the
years
point?
Old.
Why?
What is the point of doing cocaine at Dave Matthews?
That shit makes you go hippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-dippa-
Man, you know what's going to go well with this 45-minute didgeridoo solo? Blow.
I was going to say, if you attend a Dave Matthews show, you are there by a high school English teacher, because that seems like the entire fan base. But now I find out there are coked-out gang warfare happening.
What do you fight about at a Dave Matthews Band show? Hey, that's my girlfriend's cocaine. Is that it?
You stepped on my sandal. I am going to step on your sandal.
Hey, brother, those are my Birkenstocks. Mm-hmm. Bring them back here.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any shoes. I'm confused because you don't have any shoes to scuff, right?
No.
You can't hate on anyone for wearing something much nicer than what you have on, because you all have on the same thing. You all drove there in the same car. It's Volvo. Some sort of Subaru Outback to like Range Rover, right? Land Rover kind of thing. So you're all in the same spectrum. I would assume those people all get along. Like, I don't, what's the source of conflict? Or, wait. Or is this like an Iron Bowl thing where you go, the most passionate disagreements between people happen between groups, which are actually just like located one nanomolecule of meaning away from each other. Is that it?
But even this is like saying, oh, there's a huge fight at Alabama spring game every year, and there's a ton of cocaine being done at Alabama spring game. That part might be true.
Yeah,
but
brother.
Okay. All right.
Is it, Golic, you mentioned this is all that Connecticut has is Dave shows. So are the conflicts between Dave fans and people who are forced to endure Dave?
No, this is much more to Spencer's point. It is okay. People that are basically mirror images of each other. It's like when Long Island and Staten Island get into a fight, like the minor differences between the two all of a sudden show up and cause the friction.
So people who are fans of this bootleg concert versus that bootleg concert.
Yes.
Who is the true 100%. Dave fan?
So yeah. Yeah. So I do have, this does make some sense though, because the public event I have been at where I saw the most cocaine being done in and around the day before, day after, both at the event and in sort of, you know, companion events was an Ohio State football game. So this is checking out. This all makes sense to me. Now, was I accidentally staying at a cocaine dealer's house? Yes. Yes. Did not know that until the night of, when all of a sudden the wrong 30 people show up and you go, oh no.
Until all of a sudden Urban Meyer walked in.
Hey guys, what's going on? Starts kicking people.
This goes in my list of hypotheticals that I cannot stop giggling while imagining. One, your caller ID saying Adolf Hitler. That's like number one for me being like, whoa! And number two, if you're at a party where there's more than two illicit substances being done in the open and Urban Meyer shows up. Like, in terms of buzzkill, those are the two things where you're like, oh, I have made a mistake.
But that's a theoretical that I feel like the vibe of that has changed a lot in the last 3 years.
Somebody's going to have fun. I opt out, but somebody will have fun.
Yeah.
That does make sense though, because like I don't know if Urban Meyer shows up now, I'll be like, well, it's going to be a weird time. Might not be a bad time, but it's just got weirder.
Right.
Yeah, he will participate. It won't just be him standing there looking around. You know, like there will be he will.
Yeah, those won't be idle
hands. Right.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's not going to be the typical thing either. You're going to be like, oh boy, God, am I going to have to watch Urban Meyer do weird drugs? And you're like, yeah, he's over there doing ketamine. It just got wild. He's into the veterinary meds. My goalie junior, before we get started, I want to just, before I forget.
Before we get started.
No, because as I said, I have an agenda.
Shuffling papers. That's a receipt. Spencer just held up a fucking gas station receipt.
Better.
The call started.
It's better.
The call started.
One of those hotel
notepads. The call started 29 minutes ago.
Yeah. But before we get totally started, I wanted to say, do you want to plug away?
Jesus.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thing you do.
Can you name some stuff?
Sure. I need you to name. Names.
I do a podcast. It's called Gojo. You guys should check it out. It sometimes has ebbs and flows very similar to this, but that's mostly aspirational. But yeah, check that out. YouTube. DraftKings is all over it, and yeah, it'll be a good time. I think we're doing a draft show too, so that'll be fun.
Yes, with Brandon Newman, Brandon's awesome.
Also, Mike's opening for Dave Matthews Band this Thursday in Danbury, Connecticut. So
yeah, get on it. Bring your bag. Make some friends.
Got a new fire dancer tattoo that I'm going to debut for the Matthews.
Mike's doing Devil Sticks as his opening act. That's going to be fucking sweet.
The best part is that you could have an infinite number if you're like, hey, listen, we need local Dave Matthews Band cover bands to open for Dave. If you do that and you hire everyone in the area, there are some parts of the country where it's like there are 37 open bands.
Yeah, we're very far down on the list for the show where the type just gets so small that you've got to pull out the magnifying glass. It's like, oh, Dirty Mike and the Boys? All right.
Dirty Mike and the Boys are playing Dave Cover Fest.
I saw an interview with Dave where he said, somebody said, well, what do you do now? And he goes, I just drink a lot of wine. Is that your thing? I like drinking wine. Good job, Dave. Why be famous if you can't list drinking wine as a hobby? What are your passions? I don't know. I like drinking fermented grape juice and singing with my friends.
Billy Joel's like, hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah.
Drive into house.
Driving through three houses in Long Island. Billy does it every day. He just comes right through.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you, first of all, you're doing a draft show, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So when you're doing the draft show, who is the person you're going to talk about the most? Like the person you go, okay, this is so cool. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad. But I really like talking about it because I found this doing draft shows and talking about the draft. If you watch a lot of college ball and you have to translate them to the NFL, sometimes the guys that you find most interesting or that you talk about the most, they are not necessarily the ones who are marquee, guaranteed one hitters. They're the guys who you go, yeah, I don't know, man, but they're interesting.
So the draft or the fact that I'm most excited to talk about, because it was I did two NC State games last year, doing the radio games with Learfield, and Chandler Zavala, their left guard, has a dad who was a Chopped champion and is like a grandmaster chef. Yes. Which just fits perfectly into the like O-line ethos in general. So he's probably one like I'm most excited to talk about, just for that reason alone.
Yeah, God, you can't like that. Having a Chopped contestant as your dad, that's the peak O-line.
Well, I'd say, and just for the position in general, because so much of just offensive line life is you're big, fat herd animals, so you do everything together, and most of that revolves around meals, and you basically structure your whole week. Like Thursday nights still got to eat more. Someone's willing to get, especially in the NIL era now, so many of these kids are getting it for free, but if you've got a dad who's a chop chef, maybe he comes out and lives there for the season. Maybe he cooks for the guys every Thursday. Maybe life is great then.
How did he do on Chopped?
Oh, he won. He's like, he...
Wow.
Yeah, he's that dude. He's Himothy.
That's awesome.
The other question I had is this. I'm going to give you some bait, which is my favorite draft day bait. I saw the best bit of bait that I have seen all draft season. Like draft season is all basically about bait and being taunted into yelling at somebody for being wrong. That's it. About things that you can't predict yet. But I have one where I was like, I think I've been baited. And I think I've been baited properly. So I'll try to soft pedal it. But this is one. Good to see you have Hendon Hooker in the first round. He'll be the best QB from this year's draft. Wow. This came from Mike Tannenbaum, who, if you will remember, was the GM for the New York Jets. Not the Jets that have currently put together a pretty decent team, but the Jets that put together a Jets team and got fired for it and was not very good at his job. I've never been baited that hard. Is this the hardest draft bait of the year to this point?
It is, and it's because Mike Tannenbaum is still coasting off the high of being the guy that stood up amidst the Justin Herbert draft class and was like, oh no, like he's the best one, I would take him, and ended up being very right about that. And so now he's operating with like diplomatic immunity with the rest of this. But yes, this is an insane bait from Mike T. I applaud him getting those clicks up. And I like Hendon Hooker. And yeah. I think he has a chance to be a very good quarterback, but no, absolutely not.
This is the guy, by the way, who just hit on roulette. And he's like, wow, man, 1-36? That's what the payout is? I'm putting all this back on
That's
the wheel.
That's you. You're describing you.
Yes. Yes. Which, okay. By the way.
So game, recognized game.
Game, right? Yeah, no. This is respect. Respect Mike T. He's like, no, this is all going back on the table.
There's no, what else would you do with it though? That's the thing, is like, there's no money and no shine in being like, yep, I was right about one draft 5 years ago. And I just stayed quiet ever since then. I decided to just be right the one time. Like,
I don't know. Then you're like draft Gandalf. You only show up when there's like just incredible wisdom to reveal.
Gandalf's poor shit. Gandalf wears the same outfit every goddamn day and doesn't appear to have a house.
You know what? Bill Belichick wears the same outfit every goddamn day.
Except when he's on his sailing magazine cover, where he shows you how fucking flossy he is. Where's Gandalf's Nantucket?
It's at the Gandalf's top of the
Nantucket
hill, brother.
Gandalf's Nantucket is in the Two Towers, he got glowed up for that one.
At the turn of the tide, I looked up and saw Bill Belichick on a little sailboat.
Uh-huh. Do you want to know how down Gandalf is with the luxury sailing lifestyle? He could call dead sailors and they show up.
That's the other guy.
That's for salary cap reasons, though.
That's the deep
I just saw a bunch of undead slot receivers. Undead three-star slot receivers just showing up for me.
Track the squad of the dead.
I'll just coach them up.
It's amazing. I could summon an army of Dion branches. They just show up.
Wait, Spencer, you talked about like random like draft guys you're excited to. I don't know about you. I have a fascination with guys that just look comically large on tape amongst other comically large people. And so like DeJuan Jones from Ohio State, I genuinely have no idea. Like, I don't know how to scout a player that's that large because, like, there's a bunch of stuff that he doesn't do that well, but it's like trying to run around an 18-wheeler, and a lot of people really struggle with that. So, like, he gets him blocked. I don't know what to do. Him and Brian Brzee and Tyree Wilson are first team all comically large compared to their peers. I love just looking at them be gigantic action figures.
And why wouldn't you draft somebody that big? Think about how many pounds you're adding per pick.
Yeah.
Why draft a small guy? Your team did not get very much bigger.
Also, like, I know how dudes work, and draft boards and the people who put them together are still largely composed of men. Fair or not, that is just the fact. And until that problem is solved, I know you can walk into the room and you can be like, yeah, I got a house. I got a Haas. Everyone could be like, Haas. I guarantee you, 32 NFL teams, I could walk into like 20 of them minimum and get the owner on board just chanting Haas, and they would go with it on draft day.
Dan Campbell would start the chant.
I don't know if that's purely a gendered thing. Yeah, like, there are enough women who are into, like, Hopper from Stranger Things, and he's, like, kind of the Hoss of that show.
I think ladies would draft Hosses at the exact same rate.
I think this is actually one way in which
Hosses
the NFL
are for everyone.
Yeah.
Hoss is a gender neutral thing to fancy.
Everybody likes cake.
Big meaty men are for all.
I like big meaty men slap meat.
I like that you've identified the subgenre of women who like a man who resembles a shambling draft horse. Yeah.
That's all women.
Like, 90s Garth Brooks wasn't like, oh, he's so slim. You know?
Yeah. Or as Ryan said, that's a woman who has found the guy, the model that doesn't fart. No.
Like, even women who aren't into men in that way still look at a big ass guy and think, wow, impressive.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
What an efficient allocation.
Structural integrity.
I could stack stuff on top of all that if I needed somewhere to put things.
This is going back to an earlier theme. This is the Costco school of, you know, finding a man. You go,
right.
Is it good? You know, I don't know, but I can buy a big ass can of them for like
90
$2.
Of them.
There's
90
so
of
much
them.
Of it. There's got to be something in there for you.
That's right. Let me ask each Spencer, Mike. Let me ask you each. Who is the, let's say, day one prospect that as of today you're like, I feel the least prepared to talk about this person in any detail, and if put on the spot I will feel a little iffy about? Is there anybody like
I know? No. I got a guy, and I've gotten closer on him watching him the last couple of days, so I'm gonna test my notes on you live.
All right, but
the dude who first round, I felt very, very uncertain as to how to, because the hardest thing for me is to describe, because you have to translate and say, this is what this guy does. They're all football players. They all play their positions, but you go, okay. And I know Mike
feels this on the offensive line in particular, because they all do such similar but different things, right? Like, when you have a big-ass guard, that's a different job than, you know, you have a than a tackle, because a tackle's just, it's more technical. It's a more technical position. It does slightly different things than the guard, right? And that's hard to translate for anyone listening. The person for me that it's been hardest to zero in on exactly what they do and how they do it is C.J. Stroud. And it's harder because he's good. It's harder because he's good, and it's harder because he is a different kind of quarterback than the ones you have seen. And if I had to line him up, like, I got a beat on Levis. I can say what Levis is, Levis project, right? Like, Levis in terms of a project, I don't actually think is that much different than Anthony Richardson. I really don't, in terms of what they're going to need to do, right? Their curve. They might have different skills, and they have a different ceiling, I think, but they're both going to have to go to school. So, like, rough cut, I can say those two are over here. Over here, my fingers, they're in a different category. With Bryce Young, all you do is you go, he's short.
That's right. Like, right.
Just go, this is an awesome quarterback who's short.
Yes.
That's it. I don't, that's not hard. Everything, he does everything real well. But what does CJ Stroud do? And I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I've gotten closer. I can explain this. I feel like CJ Stroud is a problem solver. That's the kind of quarterback he is. I don't feel like he's just a pull and fire dude. I don't feel like he's overwhelmingly talented physically. I think he is very talented. I don't think he's like 99th percentile. He's like 98th, if you had to, like, you know, split hairs here. But the thing he does really well, and he especially does this in the Penn State game, is he looks at a puzzle and he gets everyone on board. Like, I feel like he is probably the best. He and Young are the best team players in that I feel like they walk up and they go, I need to make sure everyone's going on, or everyone knows what's going on. They're great at communication, and I feel like he's got a really strong arm. That's it. I'm getting closer to a good description of him. So you can tell me, you'd be like, that's incoherent, Spencer. No, I feel like CJ Stroud is a good problem solver who, while not the kind of guy who you go, he can overcome bad play design or he can overcome good coverage. I don't feel like that's always the case. I do feel like he's the kind of guy, though, who kind of walks into every play and goes, okay, what am I looking at? Who do I need to talk to? And that's a good thing. He's a good problem solver, a good communicator. And I think for a pro, that's super important. Because in college, a lot of the time, we see a dude who can't talk. Right? Who just walks up and is like, I'm a ball. And everyone's like, okay, I guess we're balling. And, you know, you got to catch the ball. I don't think Stroud's that dude. But he throws a good deep out, and he likes to look at coverages and go, that guy is coming. I need to get the ball to you. Like, he's real. I've seen on film, when he's good, that's what he does best.
Spencer, I had a teammate once that you would appreciate in a bull practice was just wholly unprepared. He was like a third string guy who was getting run because we were in the young guy scrimmage days. And he got out there at linebacker, had no idea what the defensive call was. And so he just waved his hands at everyone and said, just ball out, just ball out. That was the only thing he said to everyone on defense.
Got it.
Like, hey, got it. Say less. I got it. You, dog. Just ball out. So, yeah.
He's been all pro 5 years running.
Yeah.
That's right. Which bowl was that?
That was, I think, the Champ Sports Bowl. So I think that would have been 2011.
That'll get you through the Champ Sports Bowl, though. Yeah. That's the right attitude.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Who's the guy that you go, okay, I'm not quite there?
I would say just defensive backs in general tend to be a place that's really, because I've always said, to me, defensive backs are the closest thing that you get to offensive linemen at any other position group, because you're going backwards, doing an unnatural skill set against some of the best athletes in the world, and you've got to have communication amongst a group of four, sometimes five, sometimes even six guys about what's going on. And, you know, you kind of pass off stunts the same way you pass off routes, and a lot of that is similar, but it's just also, things can happen so infrequently. I'm spoiled by watching trench play so much, where for an offensive or defensive lineman, something happens every play.
Right.
You have to do something. You have to react to something every play. And so, like, looking at this class here, you've got really good players. Like, I know Brian Branch is a beast. I know, going on down the list, Joey Porter Jr., like, length is going to be the sell for him. The Rodriguez kid from Oregon, smooth, fluid athlete. Like, he was one where I did their game this year where I said, you don't really have to know what good defensive back play is to watch that kid and go, he's good at this. Like, yeah. He just very naturally sticks with everyone, runs like a receiver, is very fluid in that way, and can kind of latch on to guys. So I think all of those guys are the ones, like, I think I enjoy, like, Witherspoon from Illinois just because his just tends to be, like, badass. Like, Devin Witherspoon is basically the defensive back most likely to try and beat you up in a bar fight. But in general, those guys are always sort of my blind spot.
Also, note, he's currently mocked the most to Philly. So, perfect. Yeah. Makes sense.
God's Devin timing is perfect.
You got to watch him defend an in cut or a slant, because the moment where they're supposed to break – Devin Witherspoon is already pushing them forward. Like, it's just fuck contact rules. Devin Witherspoon is like, the minute you make that cut into the field, he's like, what? Like immediately on you. It's hilarious. Like, he should be flagged a lot more than he was. Like, and he probably will, but I love that.
I love thinking about his game as like the transcript of Kyle Anderson bullying Rudy Gobert that came out. Yeah, he just called him a bitch repeatedly.
This is why I love working in sports, because there are professional moments where they're like, so we need to address you calling your teammate a bitch. Like, that's they have to get HR in for that. Like, so quote, I'm writing down here.
It was on TV. Everyone saw it happen. Yeah.
We can go to the tape if you want.
The tape that was on ABC.
I'll never apologize.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Again, this is where you go, well, you used abusive language. We can't argue the factuality of
that's
this
right.
or not.
It's not,
well,
it's
let's,
not
do,
it's,
let's do that.
Truth is a defense to libel.
Granted, I too find Rudy Gobert to be a bitch. However,
this is why the NBA can't be top for its NBA-ness, because Draymond Green immediately went on his podcast and said, yeah, you know, he is kind of a bitch. Like,
he's a little- Draymond immediately unleashed a tweet he'd been sitting on for, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yes. Like-
yes. This is where Draymond just has a list. Like, he's got a list and he keeps it, and it's just like list of bitches. And when it comes up,
next.
It's like his authoritative list.
Most of us have Twitter drafts that are just like a tweet that didn't send right, or like we were half drunk and can't remember. I am confident Draymond has like a carefully cataloged, like, let's see, subcategory bitch. Let's find which team we're talking about.
Draymond's drafts are like Batman's plans to kill the rest of the Justice League. Yes. If I need to, I will press send on all of them.
Like, I've studied like, you all for years.
I know exactly
what'll make you mad.
With merely a tweet, I'll take you down like Nick Fury taking down Thor with one word.
Yeah, this is like France for a long time had a nuclear strategy, which was called all azimuths. In the event of a nuclear crisis, France was just going to press the button and kill everyone. They were just going to send one to London. They were going to send
fuck
one.
Off, man.
They were just going to send everything they had. They're just going to be like, ah, au revoir, and just, you know.
Imagine how well the FBI could have run if J. Edgar Hoover had Draymond Green working for him the whole
Draymond Green mentality.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but It was awesome nonetheless, and GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life, and I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I also wanted to ask, this is definitely, definitely draft related. You attended your first WrestleMania.
Oof.
Correct. Now, was this the first? Had you ever been to wrestling before, or did you just jump right in?
Went right in cold. Had never been to a live wrestling event and decided to go to WrestleMania.
Did you do both days?
I just did Saturday. No, I couldn't make Sunday, so I just did the first day.
That was the good day. You chose the right
day. Yeah. I wanted to ask, one, I guess your overall, like, it did take the top of your head off, right?
Yeah, it was weird because my week leading up to that, the weekend before, I had been in Las Vegas at Allegiant for the first night of Taylor Swift's two shows at that venue, and then I came back to Los Angeles and went to night one of WrestleMania, and I gotta tell you, an incredible amount of sequins at both, like very similar outfit choices from a lot of people involved in both worlds, and a similar fealty to the deity that they are worshiping in the middle of the entire situation. So a lot more in common than you would imagine those two groups would have on paper.
I also wanted to ask, what should we port over? Like, there's a lot of things for me from WrestleMania we need to introduce to the rest of sports. We've unfairly confined them to sports entertainment, and we really should have. My suggestion is this, and you didn't see this because you were live, so you don't quite get the same experience. They staged two different shows, right? The WrestleMania, and what you see is you see the TV set, the stage, and all of the areas that they'd use, like the ramp and everything. But they also stage a wrestling show that takes up the entire arena and is fully staged for everyone seating in the arena. The thing for me, I think we need to bring an oppositional announcer who hates one of the participants or teams in a sporting event and says how dastardly they are. For instance, Jim Ross saying, like, he's going to go to hell for that. What a scoundrel. Like, we need more of that in sports. What would you bring over?
So, like, ornate entrances, we already kind of have the crossover in both now. I know Clemson's kind of got the hill on lock, but man, the gigantic, like, comically long Hollywood-style stage at WrestleMania 39 was really aspirational. I also just like the idea at a sporting event of having a cage that could be dropped down at any time. And whoever is under the cage, you are now the only live players in the action. Like, I didn't even get to see the cage lowered, but the whole time it was just like this looming other player in the game where I was like, well, I don't know when it's coming. I'm new here, so it could eventually just pop down. And the idea that at some point that could happen where we just have or quarter the entire field of play and whoever's left in there has to pick up the pieces could be a really interesting wrinkle to have.
You're in the red zone now.
I do kind of like the idea, once you're in the red zone, you just lower a cage over the whole field and you can bounce a pass off it.
There's only one way out of the red zone, and it's to fumble the ball out of the back of the end zone.
No touchbacks. That shit's coming back live. When you were there, too, this is the other thing that we need more of. We need more fan participation if you go to a wrestling event. The best part is that the marks mark out really hard and have different things they do the whole time. Like, football crowds can be great, but we have nothing that compares with This Is Awesome. Like, This Is Awesome should be more of a chant that's, like, part of sports lives. We don't have Ric Flair woos whenever anyone gets chest chopped or the boo or yay. We need more of that, like, by far.
Yeah, that part I wasn't prepared for because that started in the concourse. Like all of a sudden, people were just coming out of nowhere out of the bathroom, and everyone in line to get hot dogs is wooing, and I'm playing catch up on everything. And so then all of a sudden, I get out and I get it in context inside the actual like stadium itself. But out there, I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is a cult that I have just recently joined, and I didn't read the pamphlet.
I mean, we do have, you know, Illinois and Penn State that go to 35 overtimes. That's a fight forever situation.
Mm-hmm. We do need that, by far. Or, like, I'm going to AEW tomorrow night, and I had to read up, you know, you have to be prepped. Everybody's going to be yelling cowboy shit because Adam Hangman Page is wrestling.
I was going to say, the one thing I wanted to see sports add to that you mentioned, getting caught up on things, wrestling did a phenomenal job at WrestleMania, I mean, did a phenomenal job with the video synopses that they run inside the stadium. Before every match, I get a little vignette that tells me everything I need to know about everyone who's going battle inside the ring. And if you just ran that inside the stadium, like up on the video board, like, oh, last time on Dragon Ball Z when these two teams squared off, and you just went through that, it'd be a wonderful way to make sure that, all right, everyone's caught up here if you're just some random friend that, you know, went along with your buddies on this game.
So, like, the only way to do that, honestly, would be, like, to let each of the schools make the video package about the other school, right?
Yes.
Like, if you want a good guy announcer and a heel announcer, like Spencer's idea, you need to combine radio crews for each game. Everybody gets to send one announcer, right? So, like, to do the video package thing, you have to let, like, Ole Miss make Auburn's pregame video. You know what I mean?
Oh, imagine the Michigan-Michigan State game next year if you did this.
I mean, Michigan does this before the Ohio State game in real life.
And you get, well, the thing is, we need Ohio State to also get a minute of airtime in that video. Like, they both get to present their own alternate reality, because it's either that or we have, like, quote-unquote impartial third party stitch these two things together.
Spencer will do it.
I'll do it, yeah. I also totally believe in, like, I think we need to allow more teams to make heel and face turns. We need that all the time, you know, because you need a good heel. Like, I think one problem with Alabama and why they were never really that compelling is they got on an Undertaker thing of, like, being kind of a neutral heel and not, like, a heel. Alabama came in and they're just like, we're just on a streak. We're just undead.
But now all sports teams want to be a heel for their own purpose. They want to be a heel just from the perspective of, like, everyone was against us and no one thought we could. Like, nobody really wants to be a heel for its own sake or for the beauty of, like, being the fly in the ointment. Like, you know, it's just all bullshit hype talk at this point.
I think every sports team, every athlete at this point wants to be a fake John Cena underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, John Cena's thing is, like, he's, you know, his wrestling character is, like, ultimate unstoppable Superman who also has enough political pull to say, meh, I don't really want to lose to that guy, so I won't. But also at the same time, the whole brand is like, try really hard because no one believes in you. And that is how every athlete talks, even though they are all unstoppable super persons.
There's only one team I know of that really wants to be the bad guy, and it's Miami. But the funny part is they can't actually be Scott Hall and say hi to the bad guy because they can't get there.
they're not over, right?
They're not over.
Right.
They're the Austin Theory of the college football. Like, we'd love to boo you, but we don't really give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Texas could play this role if they
Texas
got...
is your Dominic Mysterio. Fuck that team. Fuck everything about them. We will go to a game just to say fuck them. That's how you get over as a heel.
Where does A&M fit into that equation?
Oh boy,
you just kind of ogle them. You kind of just observe the weird shit they're doing.
So no, they're Shane
like,
McMahon.
They're going to jump off some shit. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to make a lot of money, but their dad still won't love them.
Yeah, like you hear, must be the money, comes on, and then they walk in and blow their quad. That's the same.
Are these all these weird movements on purpose? Like, is any of this shit supposed to look real?
No, it's really, they think it's really cool. He thinks it looks really cool. Don't
Why
worry.
Why is he flailing his arms like that? Are those supposed to be punches?
Must be the money.
Ow!
Shane McMahon does sort of look like a swole yell leader too.
It looks like bloated Jimbo, like waterlogged Jimbo.
If you said like HGH softball dad,
I think that's the brand. I do.
That is totally the brand. And then Snoop Dogg has to bail you out. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg, improv master of the year, who. Granted, he got a little bit of assistance. There was video showing, like, the cameraman is immediately yelling, "Punch the Miz!" Which is, like, the solution to every problem is a cameraman telling you to punch someone. And the ref, she ran over to Snoop, and she's like, "People's elbow!" And, like, Snoop put together these two pieces of information to just, like, I will do an impersonation of Dwayne The Rock Johnson right now in front of 90,000 people, 80,000 people.
So if I just said Texas A&M football helped from the ring after injury, that's pretty much a program epitaph, right?
Yep.
Like, yes, helped from the ring.
But I think your larger point is right, that we do need more college football programs that just embrace heel status.
Like real heel, real heel status.
Real heel status, yes.
80, and like 89 Miami.
Yes, yes. And we've had lots of them in the past, but it just – I don't know if it's just like – It feels too unfamily friendly, or if it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's just not as appealing anymore for whatever reason.
The
like
way
even like some of those, even some of those like Pete USC teams had sort of kind of a heel energy to them, right?
Would Dabo's Clemson teams have heel energy or more of that John Cena energy described?
Extremely John Cena energy. My God. Oh, everyone hates us because we're so nice. That type of shit.
Let me come out and rap at you.
Yeah.
Like. He has done that. Oh, God.
Yeah. No, he's done that. So
Bama was over as a heel for a while, but they were the Brock Lesnar heel, where it's like...
What? Right.
I really want to hate them, but holy fuck, they're so awesome.
Yeah.
I can't look at them.
I have one game that is the most heel performance of the last like 3 or 4 years, and that's 2021 Georgia-Arkansas, where Arkansas came in like, I don't know, things are looking up for Arkansas. And it was one of those like after 7 minutes, you're like, everyone's in trouble, run.
Squash. Squash match.
Yeah, you know, like, occasionally there's a match early in the card where they're like, Brock Lesnar versus a 3-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And, you know,
seen that.
Yeah. But 3 minutes into the match, you know, it's over, right? Like, max. Right. That's, to me, one of those, like, squash matches. That's exactly what that game felt like, because a good 3 minutes into the game, you could just tell. You're like, oh, it's 98 degrees on that field, and they're going to die.
Yeah.
See, at least in Japanese wrestling, the person playing the role of Georgia in this would like sell the 3-year-old girl's offense. Like, look up the video of Kenny Omega being defeated by like a 6-year-old girl, selling her offense with his whole heart. That's how you should do it, Georgia.
Or the inflatable doll. There's an inflatable doll that I believe is 1-on-1 in regular matches.
Yes.
In NJPW.
So that's Missouri.
That is Missouri winning the SEC East. Everyone is just, we are gonna sell the dinosaur costumes offense.
Florida just sees the inflatable doll coming in the ring. It's like, fuck.
Boss said it'd be funny. Boss said it'd be really. Listen, we're the SEC East. We're the comedy match. We're the comedy match before the main event. It's fine.
That's got to be the best job in the world. You show up to Japan, you don't speak the language, somebody comes to you and goes, you are going to fight a girl today.
Okay, mixed gender wrestling. No, a 7-year-old girl.
A 7-year-old girl. Okay. She's extremely powerful. Got it. We will pay you $7,000 to lose to this 6-year-old girl today in your underwear. You're like,
If you land any offense whatsoever, the entire building will hate you. You have to be brutalized from bell to bell.
They'll be mostly silent for most.
Right, yes.
This is a normal day in your life.
I feel like parents would be incredibly well prepared for everything you just described.
That's true.
Yeah,
no, that is a large part of the job, selling offense by 4-year-olds.
Ow!
Oh, my back. Oh, he's really, the psychological story of this match is that he is wearing down my lower back. Oh, it hurts so bad.
I think that, yeah, exactly. With an announcer, this is another reason I want the announcer, is that I want the announcer to sell things that don't really exist. I want the announcer, because the announcer, the color announcer, especially in a wrestling broadcast, tries to make things real that are not. For instance, selling, like, I don't know how much longer these men can stand the physical stress of these chest chops, you know? That place is so much, like, they make up damage, right? Like,
right, yes.
They'll be like, yes, it brings the blood to the chest, which inflicts psychological damage on the cerebrospinal cortex, which then it disables the heel, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like, they do so much horse shit physiologically that I would love to see this from a college football perspective. Like, they played Boomer Sooner 73 times. The aural stress on the ear translates directly to the cerebrospinal column, which affects the nervous system of the quarterback. It's proof 67% more interceptions in the third quarter when they've played Boomer Sooner against these boys.
I feel like we already have this, and that is, this is, they're wearing them down with the rushing attack.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's our version of, like, sometimes it is true, but sometimes it is just like, oh boy, the brutality being inflicted here.
He gets stronger as the game goes on.
By God, he's establishing the run.
Yes.
So, Golic, you have played against, you've played the game. Was there a point where you're like, we should probably stop trying to establish the run? Like, as an offensive lineman, you're like, yeah, this shit's not working.
I don't think it's going to be established today.
I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you, sometimes pass blocking is a really nice break. sometimes having to pass block the Aaron Donalds of the world sucks. But other times, especially when you play center or guard, there's just whole plays where you're blocking air. And you're supposed to go find work, and your O-line coach is going to yell at you later. But play 75 in the game, sometimes it's nice to just throw a post hand on the guy the center's blocking, look out, be like, oh, the tackle's got him. He's good right now. Are you just, we're just going to pound our feet and look busy.
That's right.
Are you just like leaning? Like, okay, I got you. Look at me. I'm doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And all you got to say after is like, listen, coach, I felt him. I thought he was going to try and cross
this
face.
This is like the third person helping to carry a couch who's like in the corner or in the middle somewhere. It's not really doing anything, but you're like, no, I'm here. We all got this, guys. We're all doing this.
The guy is just calling out directions. Watch your left.
That is playing center in college football. That is playing center in college football. You're there to play air traffic control, and then for the teams that line up with it, like, you got to pay eventually when a team wants to run a 3-4 and they line up some 350-pound hoss in front of you. Like, watching my buddies try and block Star Latulale looked like hell. I was really glad to be not playing at that point.
For y'all.
Because they were just running into this brick wall that wasn't doing anything for them. But the other times, if someone's got a 4 down front playing center in college football, falls the easiest shit on earth. I recommend it to anybody.
You're just like, literally, you're doing the Wong, right? You're like, y'all have fun fighting Thanos.
Yep.
I'll be over here.
I have to watch the library.
I'm just going to get some distance back here. Circle my hands a little bit.
Shuffle the feet.
Yeah, Wong's footwork, fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
He's this got a good base to him. I think he could do it.
Yeah, that's right.
They all brace really well. I mean, they get it. Good body angles. Mm-hmm.
This is where I go full wrestling announcer and go, he's so smart. What a tactician.
He's got those educated feet.
Like, I just, before this, I just watched the Kenny Omega, Adam Hangman Page title fight from 2022. At one point, the evil manager comes over and grabs Hangman's boot when he's trying to kick, and he grabs the boot from out of the ring and interferes. And Jim Ross, classic line, goes, he's so smart.
It's diabolical. The way he attacked the guy in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. The way he cheated. Like, every time I see a center come with, like, a last minute, like, pile jump block, right? Like, the guard has fought Star Lotulele to the ground. The center's like, oh, yep, touched him. Yep, did something. I'm always like, tactician.
Yeah. Genius. Anything you get away with that the ref didn't see is brilliant.
Yeah.
He's like a coach on the field. And that his body and skills are middle-aged.
You can absolutely pull off as a center, too, because the coolest thing you get to do, crouch and point. It's the best pictures I ever have of me playing football.
Hell yeah.
Half the time, it's completely useless, but you're just like, you know what? I want to over-communicate crouch and point. Now
let
I look
tell you,
cool.
Let me tell
I
you
look
who
like
loves,
such a leader.
Let me tell you who loves a fucking college football center, and that's Getty Images. Oh, my God. They love those dudes.
The big men of action.
That's right.
Because you're just far enough out. out of the front of the rest of the line that, that when they take the shot down the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Oh, I got a great shot from the BC game. We played them in 2011. Tattoos are out and flowing. Yeah. I look like I'm leading, like I'm Washington leading everyone yes. across the river.
Look at this Braveheart chant.
Like, look at fucking Babe Ruth calling his shot. Look, it looks like I'm calling you out, motherfucker. But really, it's just like here is our strategic point of emphasis.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like trying to find Robbie Gordon in old NASCAR photos. If you're trying to find a guard, because you know you would not be that. If you're the center, you're clear. You're like you're Dale Earnhardt, or you're not in the crash. The best part is if you try to find a photo of a guard. Now, I remember guard from Notre Dame, big badass,
Quentin Nelson.
Correct. So I was trying to find clean photos of Quentin Nelson, and it was impossible because Quentin Nelson was always under three guys. He had started. Because it's like trying to find a clean shot of Johnny Knoxville. It's not possible because you're like, no, well, he's being shot or he's clearly in pain here, right? Like Quentin Nelson, if you're trying to find like a photo.
Quentin Nelson is under the bull, yeah.
Right. Or like Robbie Gordon was always under three cars because he just started some shit, right? He was the guy who started the crash. So if you're trying to find a guard, it's got to suck to find your official photo. Like, I need one for mom. And they're like, well, here's three dirty 300-pound men on top of you right here.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got that combined with the fact that he's always wearing gold pants, which render and look like you pissed yourself more often than not. Mm-hmm. Although, in my defense, I was pissing myself more often than not. Like, my senior day photo is me out with my parents, blatant pee stain, right up, right in the front.
Was that always voluntary, or sometimes you're just like, that was really hard.
True of a lot of college seniors. It's not football specific. Yeah.
No, Spencer, it was not voluntary. More often than not, it was like, I always puke before games anyway, so I'm just ejecting fluids out of every part of my body, and that was just one of the places.
That's why we call him Gusher.
It's a beautiful sport is what we're trying to say. It'll be beautiful. I did have another question for you. You have lost a tremendous amount of weight, like most linemen, since you stopped playing. What did you do to put size on? What did you eat? Like, what was the mass keeper?
It like everything everywhere all at once. It was just because like when we got to college too, there weren't nutrition plans like you have now. It was have a loaf of peanut butter or a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter under your bed and as much weight gainer as they'll give you at GNC and just eat those the first time you wake up and right when you go to bed and then just never stop in the interim. Sam Young, who was offensive lineman, he was like a junior or senior when I got there, had my favorite NFL career because you just look up and Sam was still playing somewhere, just filling out an offensive line room, incredible vibes guy. And he was like 6'7", and they really wanted him to put weight on. So he would show up at like 4:30 in the morning before a 5 or 6 a.m. lift, and they would make him chug these diesel can Gatorade protein shakes that we had that are like 800% your daily intake of sugar and a bunch of calories. And he would chug five of those, wait around for 45 minutes, and then
work out
for us.
Entire lake.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I started when I was a kid. I used to come home from Pop Warner practice, and my mom would just make me the family size can of Chef Boyardee raviolis, and I would just sit there and mollywop the bowl.
So you're like my physical icon. What I'm going for, the goal is Lot's wife. I'm just gonna be pillar of salt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other 100%. Question I have for you is, I had the question for you, and it's really less of a question and more of like an advice because, you know, my whole life I've wanted to do steroids and haven't. But, you know, if I just say one cycle, bro, I should just do one cycle, right? So you're supposed to say, no, don't do it. Do it.
Yes! Get big!
Spencer, I'm in the same boat as you where now that no one's going to test me, I'm like, man, this would be kind of cool. Like, I see the guys at the gym. Like, I work out at a 24-hour fitness that's full of meatheads down in the free weight section. And I see the guys that are, clearly just, I want to go and start to ask the questions about what weird website you get this off of, because I'd love to look like that just for a little bit. Not long enough to where it's going to fully compromise my body like we see all these old bodybuilders, but just enough to get me close.
Just to get some photos.
Yes, that's it.
Couple photos, yeah. That's it. What? Or to be the weirdly swole old man. That's where I'm at. To the weirdly swole old man where they're like, yeah, he's on gear, but damn.
What what is holding you back at this point, Spencer?
What's holding me back are the it's a routine, so I would be worried that I would just take the shit to like because I'm
take it all at once.
Out. Like that'll
take
happen,
it all at
right?
once. Take it all at once, and some weird anime shit happens. That's like, you're as big
like
as
a
Earth.
Part of me just starts bubbling like cauliflower, right? And I'm like, yeah, and I develop psychic powers. And
he turned into Kelsey Grammer or Hank McCoy. It was crazy. Yeah.
If I could do something where I became furry blue thing right now, I'd do it right now.
I know you would. I know you would.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Yes.
Yeah, no, like, is there a button right here that I can press to do that right now?
I think the only issue you would have is you'd be so hot all the time. You'd be so hot. Like, I don't know how Beast wears a fucking suit. I don't know how he isn't just, like, sweat through every dress shirt.
My brother, he wears tweed. If you see it, he wears a sword of tweed.
I think it's because blue is a cool color.
You think
I know.
So?
Yeah.
To quote the internet, I know it smelled crazy in there.
This goes all the way back to our original point about ladies preferring a good hoss.
Oh,
but
yes.
My sister watched like the new Beauty and the Beast when it came out. And I remember one point she's like, why the hell would she want him to change? He's great the way he is.
Perfect man. What, warm? Saves on heating bills in the winter?
He's
right?
A big beefy boy with good hair. What's wrong with that?
Lots of it.
So it's just the routine is throwing you
he's
off?
He's going to eat, right? Oh, there's a number of different things, Ryan. There's a number of different obstacles here. One, routine, because I'm going to have to remember to do that, right? And I'm terrible at remembering to take any medications, much less ones that are recreational or voluntary, right? Yeah. Like, this is the reason I'm a terrible addict. Because I can't remember to do the thing.
I can't remember to be addicted.
This is the reason I can't.
Not again.
Like, I don't actually drink that much anymore.
What the fuck is it that I'm addicted to?
I'm worried about your conception of addiction at this point.
No, because I mean, I had like a drinking problem at one point. But one of the things that was my big advantage in overcoming that drinking problem was I could not, one, plan the logistics necessary to be a good drunk. Because you have to have a routine. Like, if you have to be disciplined, right? If you're going to keep a job and have a substance abuse problem. And ultimately, my level of addiction was not that great because I could overcome it. I could say, I'm not organized enough to be an addict, right?
Simply,
like, I could not
forget,
hit that next level.
Sure. Simply forgot to be drunk.
This explains a lot about certain college football coaches, but please go ahead.
Yeah. No. You know, and I could not, and obviously, like, my level was not on the level of being enough of a problem, and that's the real blessing. But my superpower, my little advantage there was that I could not be organized enough to pull it off. There's that right there.
Good.
Two, the other thing is this. I don't ever want to off-cycle. Like, I got Barry Bonds' approach to this. Do you know what Barry Bonds' approach to steroid cycling was? He took it, and he got huge.
Yep.
And his trainer, Anderson, said, bro, you got to off-cycle. And Barry Bonds was like, fuck that. I'm never off-cycling. And he just started another cycle. So he just got bigger and bigger, and he never went off. I would never, ever have the discipline to be like, well, in 3 months, I got to pick this back up. No, I would just be a bloated, hormonally deranged mess 6 months out being like, oh, I forgot. Crap.
You're going to hit so many dingers, though. Do it for America.
He did roids so hard that he had muscles in his arm shear off in his first season.
Is he the closest we've gotten to the actual juggernaut existing in real life?
Baseball juggernaut. Yeah.
Mike Mamula was on that gas. Bonds was ever around, Mike Mamula was hard on that gas. He was probably the real life juggernaut.
I would pitch around the juggernaut. That's all I'm saying. I'd definitely walk his. But at the same time, if you told me, like, yeah, when the juggernaut was younger, he stole 40 bases, I'd be like, holy shit. Yeah. Juggernaut definitely deserves to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I mean, I'm not guarding the plate if the juggernaut is coming to is rounding third. I'm like, oh shit, the sun's in my eyes. I fell out of the way.
I have a contrary opinion. I would have hit Bonds because then he'd have to run out after me.
Yeah.
Because the best he's doing is a speed walk. I'd probably just keep moving backwards, hoping he'd pull something.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
That's pretty good.
And like, there's no lateral quicks with that either. It's straight line. So you just ole one way or the other.
It's like getting chased by an alligator.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's all alligator.
Zigzag. You got to zigzag away from Barry.
Gator's so strong.
Call him Gator Arms.
Also, for who and for what? Like if I deadlift 500 pounds, what's it do for anyone? Like, that's the thing. If I'm on roids and I do all the things.
TikTok.
And who's going to care? Mm. They're still going to hate me. Doesn't matter.
Wow. No, remember, we're trying heel turns. You want to be hated for your strength.
You want to be the heel of steroid deadlifting talk.
Yeah. They didn't believe I could deadlift 500.
Exactly. And somebody's be like, he's on test. And I'm like, brother, I'm on all the tests.
Brother, I am the test, and you can't pass it.
I got a test for you. Tell me what I'm not on, huh? Like, that's it. They'll be like, yeah, he's on gear. And I'm like, Top Gear? Oh, yeah. B12, baby. This heart's huge. I'm going to be dead by 57. Yeah. That's the other problem is that if I actually had to stick with it in the manner in which I would, in 6 months, I'd be Rich Piana. I'd be like, I got problems. You don't know. Like, I'd be cutting YouTube videos where I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Missed him my whole life. I'm on a cut. It's real rough, bro. Like these terrifying weightlifting videos. I'm so big. What I've done to gain this power.
had to custom order the casket.
It's a big casket. Which is pretty cool.
My YouTube channel would have 3.2 million views, and all of them would be like, get help. Get help.
You need help, dude. I'm really worried about Spencer.
Yo, God. I can't wait till the next video, though. Yeah, he's so big. He's so yoked. Yeah. Also, you do have to do all the work, which, you know, like, that would be fine. But you don't want to become one of you don't want to become one of those people. So basically, lack of organizational skills is really the biggest obstacle to me doing it. Also, you become an unnatural shade of, like, red if you're, like, yeah.
Oh, I've seen The Liver King. I know.
Yeah, you do. Dog look. That hot dog look, it's not good. You know? You also get, like, the HGH gut, like the Palumbo gut. So
I'm just imagining The Liver King rolling on one of those gas station hot dog things now. Don't eat me.
Although I am all natural. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Those are all of the reasons that I simply would not. I would decline.
Okay. Those are actually very good reasons for you.
Those are very honest reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the reason Spencer can't do steroids are the same reasons that I can't buy chips and dip for myself at the grocery store anymore or cereal, because I will consume them all at once irresponsibly and then not do so the next time.
Yeah.
Because you'll become too powerful. Same thing.
Yeah.
They make Zapp's pretzel sticks now.
Oh, fuck.
Like, you can get voodoo.
I didn't pretzel need to sticks know that.
Are Zapp's voodoo
flavor. How dare
flavor.
You?
We bought, they were in this house once and never again. They will never return to this home.
They made you too strong?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, you but just black back in and you look down, covered in it. What have I become?
It's one of those things where you're like, oh, other people in the house will want these. Guess not.
They had like 15 seconds. They
other people in the house are going to want them, and that's the problem. That's why I must dispose of this now.
I'm saving you. You this don't understand the sacrifice good. I'm making.
Yeah.
You were Dexter in that one episode where somebody's like, no, but I want to be killed. And you're like, ah, I got to do it.
Just to be clear, it's April 11th, 2023, and Spencer is referencing Dexter.
I did. The novel, sir.
Christ.
The novel.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Simon, God.
Simon Esteet.
You're a nightmare.
Please, are you the one to basic cable check me here? Please.
About what?
Referencing a basic cable show? You're like, you are on my
first
level.
First of all, Dexter is not basic cable. It's premium cable, you fucking Philistine. Oh.
maybe if you're a broke boy.
What does that even mean?
I got so much money, they put it on regular cable for me.
Yeah. This is part of my heel turn, Jason.
You have to have regular cable when you ball.
I'm so rich they put it all on CBS for me.
That's when you live in a courtyard by Marriott, as I do, you're all basic cable, baby.
Sorry you ain't on this Homewood suite life.
No, you can keep the points. I'll take the rest of this on cable, please.
Would you like to enter your member's number?
Nah, you can keep them.
Nah, I don't need to. Dexter's on basic cable. Yeah, it's like...
You want to come up my room and watch TV?
You want to watch Dexter? It's on every channel.
Dexter and True Blood. That's all I do.
True Blood by day.
Hey, Dexter, I've seen like two episodes of Dexter ever. I watched all of True Blood.
I know you watched all of True Blood.
Yeah, Dexter is like, it's like 90% stupid enough. True Blood is the authentic 200% stupid enough.
See,
I'm in on True Blood, yes, not Dexter.
Yes, yes. Dexter has too many people thinking like, I think we can make this good. And True Blood is all people who are like, oh, this is bad, baby. We gonna do this big. This gonna be real stupid, Cher.
Gambit executive producer.
The inside of Gambit's brain is that show. Gambit's brain when Rogue walks past.
Oh, Remy's so horny for the vampire.
That show is so dumb. The best part is that they could walk in and they'd be like, I'm a televangelist who's also a werepanther. And you're like, whatever.
Boring. We did that in season 3.
Yeah, we did it. Come on.
What else you got? Where's the rest of your bit? That's not enough.
The starting point was there's a vampire who sounds like Elvis. You're like, yeah, go ahead.
That sounds like exactly what's happened with the people making the Fast franchise, where now it's like, hell yeah, The Rock can redirect a torpedo on top of the ice. Let's go.
Yes. Yep.
He could, though. You know why? Gear. He's on good gear. So I've had all my cons, and I'm like, Ryan, maybe I could do steroids because I had the discipline to finish every episode of True Blood. And if I put myself through that.
That's right.
What kind of shit is Dominic Toretto canonically on at this point? Now that, you know, in this next movie, I'm sure he's going to fucking throw cars at each other and like catch a car in the air and return it to the person who threw it. How much roids is he doing at this point? That character.
Okay. I have an answer. So
it's government. First of all, it's government roids, right? Secret government roids.
He's got that great shit.
Yeah.
Not that shit they gave Drago.
No. Yeah.
Designed by Ludacris, the smartest man alive.
Yes.
I'm at the top of my game, and with this, you will be too.
What's in my brains is now in your biceps.
Getting erotic, giving your body just what it deserves. Test.
D-ball, baby. I love that the smartest man in the universe went to Georgia State in the Fast universe.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So good. Of course he did.
Of course he did, yeah.
It's the best school in the Fast universe.
Yeah.
I think the only schools in the Fast universe are Georgia State and San Diego State. Which one did you go to? they bring in like a villain school, right? Like that's where all the villains came from, and it's somewhere that like it's like Oklahoma or something. You know, it's like that's a place we've never been anywhere near because there's not an ocean. It must be scary.
There's nowhere. There's nothing glamorous or cool there. I think he's on the good Russian shit. That's my guess. Right, he's probably on some.
That'll make a red.
Yeah, he's on something. He's on something where they're like, "Do not go out in sunlight for 2 weeks after taking this."
He's on bear steroids. Yeah, the shit they use to make bears bigger.
Bearoids. Yeah,
they would. They'd be like, you know. So what'll happen if I go out in the sun?
Bears too skinny. Like,
It's not that someone thought that, Jason. It's that someone thought that and someone agreed. That someone was like, yes
we will do something about this.
She don't want skinny bear. She wants big bear. She loves Lusky Boy.
She wants big fat bear.
Ideal man. Big fat friendly bear who sleeps much and eats.
Yes. And Earns. Make sure it puts Earner in there. The steroid will make me a good Earner and Family Man. Yeah, that's
only
the shit
one thing will
take.
Stop you from turning into bear. Corona beer must be taken 3 times a day.
It will prevent all hair from growing on your body, but you will have the strength of a bear and the driving ability of a bear.
It'll have the height of a bear.
No.
Yeah. I will.
Well, when
I'm definitely
when
taller than a bear.
Once you control camera. Once you are director, you will be taller. Somehow.
I want the fast.
Also, the rock will shrink. It's magic.
I want the fast universe to incorporate somebody like Rob Delaney. I want them to do the thing from Deadpool where they just take a normal guy and make him part of the team, right? Like outrageously normal.
It'll be Kendall Roy. That's who it's going to be.
Jeremy Strong is part of it. I love that the most normal guy they have is Ludacris. Like, he is the guy who fits in that role here.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Can't wait for Kendall to come in and disrupt family.
If you that thought
is
you...
my, and I apologize for anybody who is behind on the show at this point, but the LA Times has already spoiled it, so fuck it, we can too. I think the most satisfying end to Succession would be if we do, like, a fast style end of the show where you go back to the plane where Logan died and it's revealed that Jason Statham was the pilot the whole time and it's like holding a little poison vial or some shit and it's like, yep, that's right, it was Shaw all along.
I think fast should go back to the very beginning and it was like is there an action star who hasn't been in it, like a current action star? Well, they're going to do like fucking the DVD players that we stole were Chris Pratt all along.
Yes, right.
That's what they're going to do.
Do you think Dom Toretto ever sits down and is like, man, shit has really fucking spiraled for us, you guys. We just have like an auto body shop and occasionally steal from Best Buy.
Why did we steal so many fucking VCRs that we're in space?
Maybe we need to think about our actions a little bit.
Like maybe we have bitten off more than we can chew. I died and came back to life, you guys.
This family needs to go to therapy.
We made like fucking $500 off PS1s and then a submarine was chasing us.
Mm-hmm. This is where Don Bell, the founder of Taco Bell and the center of American society as we know it, needs to come to Dom and say, listen, we told you to live, Moss. We did not mean this.
This is Tomas.
I, Don Bell.
Tomas Too Furious.
Greatest American.
God, yes. That's a tattoo. That's a tattoo. I'll get it if you get it.
I'm in.
Done, brother. No, let's go.
Where do you want to get it? Let's see.
Next week. Let's go. This is what we're going to do. We're going to paint some Warhammer models, and we'll go get this tattoo.
Yeah, okay. Jesus. At the same time.
We're going to do that. Yeah, brain done. This is not. By the way, if there was one guy that we could just sort of put at the center of American society and enshrine in a single figure, it would be the fictional man Don Bell that I just made up, the founder of Taco Bell.
But you know what? You sold it hard enough. I was like, obviously, the founder of Taco Bell is not named Don Bell, but I wanted to believe it, so I went with it.
No, but his son who took over the company is in fact Don Bell.
That's right. That's right.
Taco Bell was founded by Glenn Bell. I'm reading from Wiki right now.
Glenn,
really? Okay.
Yeah. No, Spencer was right.
The thing I made up wasn't as dumb as reality.
Glenn
never
Bell.
Told a joke,
dude. Yo, never. His parents were Swedish and German from Iowa.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This is the most.
And you know what he thought? He thought. All this corn and not a single taco in this place. Fuck that. No more. This ends today. I will create the Taco Bell.
No one anywhere near me is living Moss.
Why are you all living so Manos?